Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Data Unchained. I'm Molly Presley, the host of the show. If you haven't heard the podcast before or need a little refresher, Data Unchained is all about how the rules and the access methods for data have changed over the last several decades. First, we were really designed for the data center, and then cloud computing came about. Then we had the introduction of edge devices, and now with personal devices and all the other technologies available, data is being generated everywhere. And in today's world, where we're wanting to use data for innovation, for artificial intelligence, to help accelerate research, we need to find ways to get data to the sources that need it. And that might be humans, that might be applications. And making that data available to the folks who need it is what Data Unchained is all about. Today's guest is Harry Carr. Welcome, Harry.
Thanks, Molly. Thanks for having us.
You bet. And Harry, you're the, chairman and CEO of Vicinity. Tell us a little bit about who Vicinity is, and then we'll talk a little bit about Harry as well.
Sure. So Vicinity is a software company that's all about accelerating the time to access data. And that could be in a number of different ways, but fundamentally, that's who we are and what we do.
And as a technology, are you a software company? Are you a hardware company? Like, how do you deploy Vicinity?
Sure. So Vicinity is software and potentially firmware. Depending upon the network connectivity that you're trying to hook us up to and how big the infrastructure is. But we're all about, you know, moving data and accessing data over the wide area network.
Okay, perfect. And so as we start to kind of dig a little bit into Data Unchained and the idea of moving data around, I thought it was kind of interesting that somewhere the business development team at Hammerspace and the business development team at Vicinity bumped into each other. And there was kind of an immediate aha moment of, wow, these two companies should be working together. Can you tell us just a little bit about that and why are the two technologies so synergistic?
So I happened to be on that call and it was truly a pleasure because we talked to a lot of folks and a lot of times people get very defensive because they really don't understand what we do. And your team, to its credit, I mean, instantly understood both what we did and that it was very complementary and we dove right into, so let's talk about working together. And it was refreshing. And even when we did the press release, I mentioned that because it really was refreshing. It is very complementary. I think, you know, Hammerspace and Vicinity offers a very unique solution for customers that adds, you know, more value than either one of us could do individually.
So what problem is Vicinity really solving for?
At the end of the day, it's about the time to access data, if you wanted to oversimplify it. That's really what it comes down to. And we do that in a couple of different ways. One is if we need to actually move data, we move it faster than anything on the planet. And the other thing, and by the way, we do it without compression, without deduplication, so we don't touch the data, which is really unique. We're also very deterministic, again, which your team understood right away. But the other piece that we do, Molly, is we let you access data without moving it if you want to. So you think about Hammerspace over a global infrastructure where now with your global namespace and our technology working together, a customer can access the data and use it without having to take the time penalty of making a copy and bringing it to where the application sits.
We hear this at Hammerspace a lot, that we often will say that concept of data gravity really isn't a limitation anymore, that technologies exist that you can move your data to your compute, your applications. And there's some core technologies I feel like that have evolved. Some is what Hammerspace does with orchestrating data on a file granular basis. Some is faster networking. But I feel like Vicinity is kind of the glue. Can you kind of go a little more deeply into the technology? Like, is it networking? What is it exactly that makes it possible for you to do this?
So that's the interesting thing about our technology. We essentially fit in and our magic occurs over the network, right? But we're really all about data, which seems like a bit of an oxymoron. But if you think about it, what happens today with all the existing transfer technologies other than Vicinity is you know, there's lots of things you can do to try and, quote, accelerate the movement of data, but they fundamentally have a problem, which is they're either TCP/IP based or UDP based or some form of a protocol that over distance and over latency degrades in performance. So you may start thinking you're putting, you know, 10 gig through the pipe at one end and it's dribbling out the other end. And it doesn't matter if you add more bandwidth. More bandwidth doesn't solve the problem. Fundamentally, what we do is we turn the wide area into a local area network from a performance perspective. We're able to sustain the data throughput. So whatever you give us on the front end, we're going to hand you back on the other end. And that's really the differentiator. And whether you use that to move data or to access it, it's that capability. We've got over 30 patents around it because it's not one single thing, Molly. It's a whole bunch of different things that we do.
You know, we've talked in over the years with a lot of the data center providers, the Equinixes, about, you know, they put, you know, essentially massive dark fiber in between data centers and things like that to speed them up. And it feels to me like this is technology which helps companies who don't have control or ownership over networking to accomplish the same. Is that a good way to think of it?
It really is, because we're focused around enterprise, you know, and we think about governments as enterprises as well. And fundamentally, one of the things that we do is when you put us in, we take responsibility for end to end. So it's not like handing your data over to a carrier and hoping it gets there. We make sure it gets there through whatever network. As long as it's an IP-based network, we can traverse it.
Okay. So when you start to talk to a target customer, maybe somebody comes and finds Vicinity, wants to work with you, what problems are they looking to solve? Like, what is the business problem that they're really grappling with?
So there's always, it really depends on the vertical. There's a whole bunch of different ones. But, you know, the sort of common theme is if you have business processes where the outcomes are time significant, meaning the time it takes you to access the data and process data to come up with that business outcome is important, then that's a place where we would add value. If it's something where time really isn't that important, then you really don't want to spend the money on Vicinity. You can spend it in other places in your infrastructure, right? That's sort of the determinative factor. And we see that in all kinds of different places, whether it's, you know, we've seen it in healthcare and life sciences, we've seen it in financials, we've seen it in manufacturing, we've seen it in autonomous, you know, vehicles and media and entertainment. I mean, think about, you know, if we can accelerate a production of, a blockbuster movie by some number of months, which, you know, if you look at the workflows we actually can do, how much money is that worth? If you think about a customer that's, you know, looking to consolidate data centers, accelerate whatever they're trying to do, what's the business outcome they're trying to achieve? We can get them there faster.
And how has the changes I mentioned kind of at the beginning of this discussion, the idea of hybrid cloud or remote workers, has that really accelerated the need for Vicinity, or is it mostly connecting to corporate data centers? What does it tend to look like in a deployment?
If I go back and think about when we launched Vicinity 5 years ago, we were focused on really trying to have what we call the dataless cloud, right? You didn't have to put your data in the cloud to be able to use the cloud. Well, fast forward, as you said at the beginning of this podcast, data is everywhere and data is going to continue to be generated everywhere. And fundamentally, the problem that you can't solve is you're never going to have all of your data and all of your compute co-located. So you need technologies like Hammerspace, and you need the ability, when it matters from a time perspective, the ability to access that data instantly and ubiquitously. Probably more than anything else, the whole, you know, explosion of AI, especially with generative AI, really has exacerbated the proof points. And I don't know if we're, you know, if you're going to talk about it, but I actually gave a talk a couple of months ago. It was an AI conference, and the title of my talk was "Hallucinations or Accurate Insights? You choose." Right, and the point is, you can train models all you want, but fundamentally, you've trained them up to a certain point, which is not today. And now the industry has created this whole new term, reactive augment generation, or RAG as it's called in the trade. But the bottom line is, it really comes down to the notion that data has a time value. It becomes obsolete. And unless you can access it, unless you can conflate existing training models with real data that's very current, you're likely to get a bad decision or a bad outcome or a hallucination. I mean, unfortunately, you know, one of the flaws today, and it was funny, a CTO of a company said to me recently, well, you know, humans hallucinate too. And I said, I don't think that's a good defense of, you know, of generative AI. I don't think that's really the right answer. Honestly, it comes down to how fast can you access data? You know, that's what really brings it all together. And it's exacerbated our value in the marketplace. It's put a spotlight on data, geographically distributed. It's time bound in terms of its value. The sooner you can get to it, the more valuable it is to an enterprise.
So I'd love to hear your opinion on this. And we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I don't know your opinion. But there seems to be kind of a battle in the data architectures for AI out there of, do you make a purpose-built AI environment and try to move the data that's relevant to it and figure out how to get, you know, GPUs and compute close enough to it? And or do we? Does it make more sense to have access to any data set anywhere and try to move it to the AI models? Do you have an opinion about that?
Absolutely. And the opinion is you're never going to accomplish the former. The real world is the latter. I mean, and we've gone through this. This was sort of the argument why hybrid cloud exists, right? Because you're never going to have all your compute and all your data in one location. And if you remember for a while, cloud adjacent was a big thing people were talking about, which is, again, I used to call it a Band-Aid. And it's, you think you've come up with a solution, but it's not real.
I think the idea of cloud adjacent, I hadn't thought about Vicinity that way, but that's, you really kind of solve that. You make everything adjacent to each other in some way. It's just,
we've actually said to people physically. we're cloud adjacent at any latency. That's what we've said.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that way. I think we're going to find these different technologies out there that, some are really looking at speed and aggregated single data center space, and others are going to be looking at decentralized data. And as we think about decentralized data and some of the customer examples you guys have there, maybe not by company name or by company name, but can you just give us some examples of who's using you today? Is it, you know, for AI or other purposes? I think that's always helpful to our listeners.
Sure. So, we've got a variety of different customers that are using it for different purposes. Some of it just for pure data movement. I mean, we have, for example, I can't really name the customer, but in support of a government program, a weapons platform, there's lots of geographically dispersed testing that's going on. The manufacturing stuff is going on. The mission data that's captured is needed in lots and lots of different places. And so they're using us to both take that data from wherever it comes to Earth, as I describe it, and bring it back to a central location, and then let people access it from there. So that's kind of one use case. We've had, you know, a variety of different things in the M&E space where people are doing video editing over distance, right? And we're actually doing something with a studio right now. We're going right from set to post, meaning that the moment the data is created at the set, we're giving them the ability to either start editing it remotely and or move it to wherever they want to put the data from a post-production perspective.
So you don't need to load the reels onto the truck and take them to the studio.
Pull the thing out of the camera, send the guy down to the FedEx office and hope that it gets there. Yeah.
I it's lingering in my head. I probably, for folks listening, it will too. How far to the edge can you go? I mean, can you be up suborbital? Can you be running on a camera? Like how far out do you connect?
So today we are, you need some form of a server, and it can be a little one. I mean, we've run on Intel Nooks as an example. I've been telling my team that, we'll know we got there when it works on a smartphone too, but we're not there yet. That's more of the vision stuff. But fundamentally today we need some form factor of a server.
Okay. A smartphone's good because people are shooting film now on it, right? Right, Hollywood.
Exactly.
Taking camera film footage off of phones. Okay, that makes sense. So And then let's talk a little bit about the relationship with Hammerspace and Vicinity. Even our engineers, when we did our announcement together, looked and was like, wow, these guys are doing exactly what we're doing, but we're not, right? We are looking at the data layer of orchestrating and having knowledge about the files themselves and which files need to go where and automating that. And then we've already talked a fair bit about Vicinity, but how do you see the relationship of a customer? How would we work together in an end user's environment?
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is all of what you described, the orchestration, the knowledge of the data, et cetera, we don't care. I mean, we basically are your partner to say, okay, take this and get it there and we move it. And or this application needs this data, let them access it, right? So that's what we do. And because we don't touch the data, we don't look at it, right? We don't need to know what it is. We don't want to know what it is. But what we focus on is, I think you mentioned earlier, we're sort of the glue that lets the application and the data talk to each other as needed. Right. And you're the smarts. Right. We're fast and we make things happen. We rely on you to tell us what to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to think about it. When I was talking to a customer the other day about the partnership and, the whole goal is don't move if you don't need to. Know what data you have. Don't move if you need to. But if you do need to move, only move what you need and do it super, super fast. And ultimately, that's making a world where you can have remote access to any data source and work with it as if it's local. And the two technologies together work amazingly well together. As we tie things up, I want to talk about the future. So organizations are rethinking data architectures for sure. They're thinking through, okay, I've spent all this time about where to store my data, how to store it in a cost-effective or high-performant tier. Now they're thinking about, okay, I need to put this data to work, largely for AI readiness. What do you think the future looks like as these data architectures evolve? What will be kind of the norm 5 years from now?
I think what you're going to see 5 years from now is the whole notion of having to move data be passe. I think you're going to see data living where it's generated and the applications being able to access them seamlessly, right? And even the boundaries of what's cloud. There was this whole battle, cloud versus on-prem, hybrid, whatever. And, the term cloud won because everyone calls what they do cloud. And it doesn't matter, right? Because it's about where the compute is and where the data is. So I think the amount of data that's generated is going to be, in some senses, so overwhelming that the notion of having to think about and worry about moving it on top of just finding it and orchestrating it like Hammerspace does so that people know where it is when I need it, that's going to be enough. And then the rest is going to be just connect the application and the data.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the analogy. Our CEO uses it a fair bit of in the consumer space where it used to be you had to worry about how do I move my pictures from one phone to the next when I bought a new device. And maybe you had a FireWire thing you backed them up to or whatever. And then it's like, moving it was hard and it took a while. And the consumer space has largely solved this. You can move to a new device, have your photos on your computer, a new phone, whatever. And you don't really know where they're stored. They're up in the cloud somewhere. Don't know which cloud probably, unless you're a technologist and just like to read about it. But you don't have to worry about any of that. You're just, your devices have access to all your data on your phone. And I really think the enterprise world's going that same way where the two will be isolated, where users just have access to data no matter where it is in the world and they don't have to worry about it. It's a really fascinating concept for folks who have been raised in the data center world.
It's sort of a data anti-gravity. That's what I call it.
There you go. Exactly. That's what we need to go announce. Well, Harry, thank you so much for joining today. I'd love for you to share a little bit. If customers are interested in learning or resellers, whoever it is listening to the show are interested in engaging with Vicinity, what's the best way for them to do that? Is there, is it on your homepage? Is there
an
email address to reach out to?
sales@vicinity.io. I'm harry@vicinity.io. And then our website has a number of different ways that you can get in touch with us and get some information about the company, including our Hammerspace solution brief that we have together.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking time to join today's show. It's really exciting to see these new technologies coming out. I didn't realize your company was only 5 years old, but it makes sense. You know, there's great new technologies coming out fast for the future of these data architectures. And I really appreciate you taking time to share it with our show.
Really appreciate it, Molly. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Data Unchained, powered by Hammerspace. To learn more, visit hammerspace.com. If you have a guest you would like to hear on the show, email me at molly@hammerspace.com.